Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Hey everybody, it's Clarissa here. You are back in the limelight, and today we've got a really fun and really extraordinary guest. I'm so excited about bringing him on, but before we do that, I do want to remind you that if you see these videos on YouTube, you can get over to either Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, Spotify, or Inspired News Radio to go over and listen to all of our podcasts. And we've got the digital magazine. I'm going to be showing you this cover with Iris Opfell on it. And again, you can go to In the Limelight Media, click under magazines, and you'll be able to follow along with all of our fabulous articles from our contributors from all over the world. Okay, with that having been said, we're going to bring him on, the man, the myth, the legend. There he is, Rob Angel. Hey, Rob. Founder of Pictionary, everybody. We all know and love Pictionary. You're coming out with a new book that we're going to talk about in just a little bit. But Rob, I was taking a look at your website, and we'll talk about the commencement speech, which I thought was absolutely adorable. That was just so cute. And the way you got started was really kind of every entrepreneur's either nightmare or dream. And I don't know which part you want to start, but as a waiter up there in Seattle who was, I don't know, waiting or bussing tables or something, how did it go from there to where you are today? Where were the first wheels that were turning?
Oh my. And nice to see you, by the way.
Thanks
for having me. Yeah, it's good. The long story made short was I was in college and I went there to be a businessman. I went to be a CEO because that's what my husband did. But he got fired from his job. I'm 19 years old. He gets fired. Now I'm thinking, okay, if he can get fired, then I can get fired. Forget that. I'm going to be in charge of my own life. So that kind of set up my entrepreneurial spirit, wanting to be my own boss. But I knew I was going to be open, right? At 19, didn't really know. Well, I was going to be open. I was going to be aware, and I was going to be present for an opportunity. Moved in with three buddies after school, and we started sketching words out of the dictionary. One of them said, "You want to play this game?" And I go, "Sure." I played games as a kid, and I thought, "Okay, why not? Opportunity." Right. That was it, and we were up all night long playing this silly game.
So the story goes that you started like your first 1,000 games you made in that apartment by hands.
Oh yeah.
Oh stop! How did you do that?
Well, look, there's no manual. We're talking about
Wow.
And so I had to go through the yellow pages. So I don't know if you remember those.
I'm old enough, thank you. I remember those.
Another little digital. This was a book like this, right? And so I had to look under boxes and then pencils and dice and cubes and all these different things, nine different companies, supplying me with parts shipped to my apartment. And I physically hand assembled the games. So the first 1,000 games out of 38 million have fingerprints on every one of them.
That's unbelievable. So the first 1,000 games, or at least the first, I don't know how many games, you started to, let's say, hawk at different stores that really you kind of felt like, well, this doesn't really have very much to do with a board game, but why the hell not? I'll just go to Nordstrom's.
Sure. we did one we thought was right. It was just intuitively because there was no way to figure out.
And they were okay with it. They were like, yeah, sure, set up your table. It was at the bottom of the escalator, wasn't it?
I mean, it was crazy. It was, I figured I might as well, if you sold anything, you might as well sell a Pictionary. Pretty simple, make games, sell games. So I'd go to real estate companies, Nordstrom, knickknack stores, pharmacies. They don't sell games at pharmacies, but
right.
I'm kind of curious. I just walk in and sell them six.
And so you're getting traction. People are loving the idea. Was there a certain point where you needed cash infusion?
Oh, yeah, there was a couple of different times. So we went, oh, yeah, the 1,000 production run.
Right.
Then we produced 10,000. So right. That required another $85,000. But then we became really popular after that first year, and we needed $2 million. And this is the banks weren't lending, VCs weren't popular, venture capitalists weren't available.
Right.
So we licensed the game to a large company. But that was a process. That was a huge process. That was a game changer, if you will.
I didn't know if you wondered how far you were going to go down that rabbit hole, but I can only imagine, as somebody who's had her brand on Home Shopping Network and QVC, believe me, I know. But you know, with the bigger they are, you know, there are pros and cons to be weighed. Let's just say that, right? So then what happens?
Well, which part?
No. Well, okay. Now when you're playing with the big boys, do you stay with them or at a certain point do you pull? I don't know the entire story.
No, what happened was we became very popular in Seattle. And that first year we wound up having the license, which means basically somebody manufactures for us and pays us a royalty. And on the surface, it seems like a natural progression. But what it had to do is we had to change our mindset from being a little game company to being a licensing company. And they took us to heights unknown. I mean, they turned on the manufacturing spigot. Their sales force got us into Toys R Us, KB Toys, all the big stores.
Right.
And so after that first year, we went from 8,600 games out of my apartment to 350,000 games, and then 3 million games in year three. So it just exponential growth, but
wow.
We never, ever gave up control. Even though they had the rights, we held on to the rights to the packaging. So they couldn't use Pictionary without our approval.
Okay. Entrepreneurial lesson number one, hold on to your rights.
No, hold on to your rights, but hold on to your controls.
Control.
We gave up the rights to somebody else, but we didn't lose control. We didn't walk away. We didn't say, okay, here's our game.
Right.
Good
right.
luck.
Okay.
Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
We stayed in complete and total control. They couldn't touch our packaging because what if some marketing manager decides he wants to change the color? What if some guy in the accounting wants to say if he's smaller pencils? So we had to remain diligent and totally engaged for 17 years, actually, after we licensed. We never walked away.
Now, did I read a number that sort of read something along the lines of 38 million games sold worldwide?
During the 17 years...
Wow.
That we owned it, yeah. So we went from my little apartment, and we sold the bulk of those the first 5 or 6 years. But we were the biggest selling game in the world.
Yeah.
For 3 years, and it was quite a ride, to say the least.
Was there ever a moment where you just went, you know what, too difficult, thrown in the towel, screw it, I'm not doing this anymore?
No. There was times where we threw in the towel, but not because it was too difficult. In the beginning, no, those first several years were just magic. Didn't have a clue what we were doing. Sales were great. We were learning every day.
Right.
You know, we'd literally walk around going, oh, what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
No, I was just.
But never got to the point where it was so difficult or so trying or so whatever. You just said, we're out. I'm done. We're not doing. You just kept plowing through.
I talk about in the book, I went through some personal problems. I mean, I got overwhelmed and suffered from some depression about 6, 7, 8 years in.
Right.
Leave of absence, but I wasn't taking care of myself.
Sure.
And so I personally had to take some time. I mean, entrepreneurs who say, oh, I'm working 24/7 and I'm not getting any sleep. You know, it sounds romantic.
Yeah.
Really not.
It's not.
Take care of yourself. the way the human body works, the way we work these days, I think we're all aware
that
we need to relax. We need to take care. Guess what? If you take a couple of hours and you meditate or you go watch a stupid movie, guess what? Your business won't fail because
of it.
Have to
great point. Great lesson number two for all entrepreneurs. You know, especially now, because I'll tell you, Rob, you know, I'm interviewing a lot of people. I'm talking to a lot of people all day long. I'm in the communications industry. So I'm telling you, all the entrepreneurs and solopreneurs I'm talking to, God, I've never been busier. this COVID thing, I've never been busier in my life. And that's a great thing. But, you know, again, as you said, lesson number two, really take care of yourself along the journey, because, you know, it doesn't take much to burn out. And I also know it doesn't take too much to go down the slippery slope of depression. Been there quite a few times myself. So, okay. So then you decide, okay, so all is going well, you know, become like world famous with your game. That's so exciting. You decide to write a book, and you've just dropped your book. I don't know, maybe a month ago or so. You and I have been trying to get this interview done for seems like a year now. But so the book drops, and I want to bring it up. It's going to be an overlay. Sorry, it's not going to look real sexy, but there it is. There's a game changer, everybody. One better. Yes, of course. There it is. It's such a beautiful cover too, by the way. Man, it's not really cool. Tell me why the aardvark.
So in the beginning, when Pictionary got started, it didn't start with, as I say, a big idea. It didn't start with a plan. When I started Pictionary, I had no plan. I had no marketing business plans. But I couldn't get going, right? I was overwhelmed.
Right.
I could visualize Pictionary. Right. I was 24 years old, by the way.
Right.
I could visualize Pictionary on the store shelf. I could see that, but I couldn't figure out how to get there because marketing plans, business plans, all these things just overwhelm me. And then to make matters worse, I started having self-doubt, no confidence. I'm just a waiter, this negative self-talk. And it just was overwhelming, and I had to stop. I had to put it away.
Right.
But I couldn't shake the idea. I mean, how many of us have had the idea of the lifetime? You walk out of the shower and here it is. And by the time you dry your hair, it's gone.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, sure. Yeah.
It happens all the time. But in this case with Pictionary, for 2 years, it was like walking out of the shower. I couldn't shake the idea.
Yeah.
So finally, I had to get out of my head. I definitely had to stop overthinking.
Yeah.
And I broke it down to one, its simplest step, which was the word list. That was the physical thing I had to overcome.
Okay.
Was the word list. But I also couldn't overthink that. So everything that was right there accessible in front of me to get started was there. Pad of paper, pencil, and a dictionary.
No computers back then, right?
No computers. No, they were
No cell phones, no computers, no internet, everybody. This is pad and paper stuff.
this is 1980, early 1984.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the backyard and I open up the dictionary and I look to the first word that fit the criteria of what I was looking for. And the word was aardvark. Aardvark, right? And so here I am. I'm in the backyard. My roommates are looking at me like I'm insane. And I write down the word aardvark. And I'm going, I wrote down the word aardvark. And it was like celebrating that little victory. And I'm telling you, Pictionary didn't start with all this other stuff. Once I wrote down that word, I started having a change. I went from being a waiter to a game inventor.
Right.
Just by writing that one word. Right. I have to be honest. At 24, I didn't have the wherewithal to just go waiter, game inventor. Right. Yeah. So I had to write another word. Oh, yeah, that's right. Game inventor. Another. So by the time I was done writing the word list, 3 months later, over 5,000 words, I was a game inventor. And that was a mind shift. Okay. So now, wait a minute. I'm a game inventor. Now what do I do? Oh, I'm going to get partners. Oh, I've got to put a game together. So aardvark, I call it finding your aardvark. I mean, it's all over my website.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
RobAngel.com. It's find your aardvark, which isn't necessarily your business life, but it's getting started. So
find
your aardvark is getting started and then see what happens.
Right. I want to get into the book now. Okay, so the book. Why a book? And why now?
Originally, the book honestly was just a way for my kids to know what dad did, right? Same kind of thing with aardvark. It didn't have this big meaning. It was like, oh, I'll write down the story.
Okay.
But as I'm telling the story and I'm, almost researching my own life.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. These dots are starting to connect of why this happened. So the Steve Jobs thing, connect the dots, his commencement address. So all these dots started connecting. And the more I started connecting the dots, I realized this is a pretty big story. There's a lot going on here. There's
a lot. Yeah.
There's, it's inspirational in that as a waiter, if I can do it, you can do it. But there's business lessons and all these things that just started coming up made me want to just continue it and write it in a little different way so that it resonates with people and that everybody can learn something from it.
Yeah, I used to be a waitress too. I remember that. I mean, that's a fun time, right?
I'm a few years older than you,
but I do remember being a waitress back in the day. I was about 15 and 16, and all I ever wanted to be was a model. That was my whole deal. I just wouldn't be a model, you know. And then I went to Paris for the first time, and it didn't work. I was in New York. I was with Wilhelmina. I went to Paris. It didn't work. I wasn't in the right mindset because I didn't think I could. So I came back to New York City just real quick. I temp secretaried. And they threw me into Revlon. So I was now temp secretarying for one of the corporate higher-ups on the top floor at Revlon. And I'm looking around at all of the pictures on the wall, Rob. And I'm saying to myself, well, not for nothing, but I don't think I'm any less than any of these girls that I see. 3 years later, I was on a Revlon ad.
Nice.
I'm going to show you something real quick. Watch, just so you see. There's some other stuff here. See, like all of my it's just my back studio, but you can see some of the stuff as I went along. Yeah. And I too, in the beginning at that, you know, waiter stage, I had it in my mind, but I never thought I could do it either. And I'll be darned if we didn't. So there you go.
Right.
So, okay. I said, why now? Okay. Why the book? Because you wanted to leave a legacy for your kids. You wanted them to know the story. Why now?
Because the book got done.
That's perfect. Of course. Well, yes, that works.
I'd love to tell you something, you know, oh my gosh, there's this going to change the world. Yeah, you know what? Right. The book got to a point where I really liked the book. It's in my voice. It was done. It is.
Right.
It's a story I wanted to tell. And the 35th anniversary of the launch of Pictionary happened to coincide. So I launched it June 1 of this year, which was 35 years ago to the day. That was pretty fun.
Okay. I'm going to go with, obviously you're very successful. You've done some amazing things in your lifetime. I ask every entrepreneur that comes on the show this question, a crowning moment. What do you think in all of the magnificent things that you've done, was it apart from your marriage and your children, the one crowning moment when you went, damn, yeah, that, yes.
I was in New York. This was several years ago. And the waitress finds out I invented Pictionary. She starts to cry.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on? And so she says that she was.
I kind of got a sniffle when I first saw you too, Rob. I was grabbing for a tissue. Go ahead. I'm teasing you. Go ahead.
And so she said she was a foster child. And that when she went into the home, the kids wouldn't accept her. And the parents tried and tried and tried. And she felt like an outcast, and she wasn't getting what she wanted. Well, one day the parents bring out Pictionary. So the mom and the dad and the girl play against the three siblings. Guess what? She can draw. And so now all of a sudden everybody wants to be on her team. And she gets the family and the love that she'd been searching for her whole life. And it was because of Pictionary. And so when I invented the game, it was just to have fun. It was so people could enjoy themselves. That was it. But these, I call them cosmic gravy stories where certain things happen, marriages and friendships and family. And this woman, this young woman whose life changed over this silly game that I invented, to me, that's the beauty of Pictionary. The sounds are great. But it's these stories that they get over and over of how life changed. And to me, that makes Pictionary the success that it was. And that's what resonates with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Love the convention speech. I sort of, you know, I intimated a bit about the speech when you went last year to give a commencement speech at Western Washington University, and you were standing there, thousands, I looked like, in a stadium at the podium. And you were recounting about, you know, you definitely, you weren't the most stellar student. Let's put it that way. What?
Being stellar and sucking. I graduated with 2.1. Come on. And barely at that.
You're like, I had like a 2.9 GPA. That was so cute. It was really cute. And you got a great laugh out of that. But you just commanded the respect, obviously, you deserve. And I guess the point here is, you know, maybe this is entrepreneurial point number 3. doesn't necessarily take a degree, right, to become successful. Not that I'm advocating for not going to school or getting a greater education, but you I didn't either. I didn't go, and I have nothing to complain about. I really have had a I always say if the angels took me tonight, I'd have nothing to complain about because I did pretty much everything I wanted to do, and I'm still doing it. Right. You know, I tell everybody life started at 60. I started this business a year ago, you know, and I'm having a ball doing this. So, yeah, so there you go. I wanted to, okay, we're going to let everybody know where they can get the book because, and by the way, everybody, just so you know, I did this before I did the interview with Rob today. I ambushed him for a moment and asked him if he wouldn't mind speaking to my editor. Now, Mary Holden is the editor of my magazine, and she's one of the most well-known and respected editors in the industry. And I'm blessed to have her. So she says, oh, and by the way, that Rob Angel. I went, what? What did he do? No, I read the book.
What did he do? What did he do? Thanks.
What did he do now? I said, what did you do now? And she says, oh, he had me on the second page. And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't read the book yet, Mayor. What's the second page? Just tell him for me, would you? I talked about it on a podcast today. And she's ranting and raving and going on about your book. And I did this little blitz where I pulled you on. To surprise her. She did not know. She did not ask for that. Yeah, she did not know. And that was so kind, again, of you, Rob, to do that because you made it. She goes, oh, my God, Clarissa, thank you so much. Dreams do come true. And I went, oh, I don't know. I didn't know I was, you know, going to secret knock with a legend, but obviously I was.
Yeah, I didn't know either, but now I do. My feed just went up.
I would say it did. Now, listen, where can we find the book? Amazon, Barnes & Noble, where else?
Yeah, all of them. You can get Amazon Game Changer, Rob, Game Changer Dictionary. If you want an autographed version, you can get one on my website, robangel.com. There's a when you kind of scroll around, I can send you an autographed version. But, you know, and Audible is available and ebooks also on Amazon. So it's fun. It's a quick read. It's an easy read.
Right. But lots of great lessons in it. Lots of great lessons. I think there's obviously you're overcoming moments, but I think that it's really relatable to so many people, especially today where let's just say that we're living through very challenging times. Any voice that you can gather, anything that you can read that sort of pulls you up, you know, pulls you up, I think is something that we should all.
The whole, not premise, but one of the overriding things of the book is the unknown. We didn't have a clue what was happening from one day to the next. I didn't have a clue that I was even going to get started. I didn't know what I was doing half the time, but I just got started, right? So the unknown is going to happen.
Yeah.
It just is.
It does.
And the fear of the unknown, right? Yeah. The fear of the unknown is not the fear of the unknown. It's the pain of giving up what you already know.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm going to have to remember that. Yeah.
That's what it is. So we get comfortable, or we're even if it's negative, we know what we have. So it's not going forward that's fearful. It's oh, I'm comfortable with this. So it's the unknown was every day.
Yeah.
We made up our own manual every day.
Every day. I get it. I got it. I heard it. And I'm going to remember that forever. Thank you again so much for your time, for your grace and your patience. You've been a fabulous guest. I want everybody to run out and get Game Changer. This is a great gift. I'm not going to say Christmas is around the corner, but it could be a great Christmas gift too. Great Father's Day gift. Just go buy the book. You don't have to buy it for any occasion. Just go get it because you need to get it. And that's what I tell you to do. And that's what Rob would suggest you do. So there you go. Rob, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it. We're going to send the outro and then I'm going to come say goodbye to you. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Are you looking for a place with positive information? Well, look no more. This is the place, InspiredNewsRadio.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, positive talk radio. Shows designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, and I'm one of the hosts right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. And I ask you to please tune in every single week to my show, Mind Your Own Business. InspiredNewsRadio.com, the place to be for positive talk.
Hey everybody, it's Clarissa, and if you know me, you know I love to travel. I'm always on a plane, a train, or a car, and I love discovering new places, new hotels, new resorts, you know, just new adventures. That's why I'm so thrilled to offer to you a membership to the Clarissa Travel Club. Yep, it's at no expense to you, but it's travel at a massive discount. Here's the deal. It's savings up to 70%. No travel restrictions, no blackout dates. Almost any hotel in the world. There are over a million hotels, everybody, that you can go and search on ClarissaTravelClub.com. It's free to join. Works for friends and family, so have everybody else sign up too. It's a user-friendly site, I have to say. And here's the clincher. It's 110% price guarantee if you find a cheaper price. Let me say that again. 110% price guarantee if you find a cheaper price within 24 hours of departure date. So sign up now and receive instant access to incredible savings and terrific offers. It's just that easy. I lived in Italy for 30 years and I love Italian food, but Italian food didn't really love me because a lot of it had gluten in it. I didn't understand why I was getting so sick all the time and why I was having reactions and rashes and just generally not feeling well after eating. I myself am a celiac and I found out the hard way. An internationally renowned chef, Rita Romano, and I have created an Italian gluten-free gastronomy cookbook that is made just for you. If you have celiac disease, gluten intolerance, or even if you don't, you are gonna love this book. Satisfy your passion for Italian food without gluten. The book has 70 delicious, authentic, and modern recipes, each with beautiful illustrations and many photographs taken in Italy. Cook up a meal that family and friends can enjoy. There's bruschetta and pasta, soups, risotto, focaccia, and scrumptious desserts. Italian gluten-free gastronomy also includes a variety of vegetarian and vegan recipes. An 8.5 by 10 inch hardcover with a beautiful dust jacket. You can get that at clarissabert.shop and click under Feel Good. And for the digital version, you can find it on Amazon.
Okay, everybody, that's it for this episode. I would love it if you'd go like, subscribe, and share. Let everybody know how much great information you've gotten here today. And follow me on social. You can find me pretty much anywhere under Clarissa Burt, and on Facebook it is Clarissa Burt Official. Go to InTheLimelightMedia.com where you can sign up for my newsletter to get all kinds of great information. It's a monthly newsletter. And you can also read the In the Limelight digital magazine. It is a quarterly, so that you can keep abreast of all of the people I get to meet and greet and interview. We've got great articles there, all kinds of resources for the savvy entrepreneur that you are. See you next time.